Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Robert Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Woohoo! Yes, we missed them, but they are back. The faithful live studio audience, starting off a remarkable story again of our podcast. We have done, now, I'm sorry to tell you, this will be the third straight podcast dealing with the hostage situation. And it's not that there's not other things to talk about. And I think if you've been listening, you hear that we use it as a jumping off point for larger themes. But the stories, you can't make this stuff up. People shaking off 470, now 80 days of captivity. And the stories that are coming out last, you know, Romy Gonen coming back home, the unity of the Jewish people, and Mayrav Berger, we spoke about last week, requesting that people not break Shabbos when her daughter was coming home on Shabbos. It turns out, guess what? That her daughter was not returned on that Shabbos, but the following Thursday. And not a few commentators have discussed about how she didn't want people to break Shabbos, and she was able to fulfill that in a very, very special way, a way of self-sacrifice, of waiting a few more days. Now, obviously, she didn't choose, but it worked out absolutely incredibly. And now this week, in the pathway of faith, folks, you just cannot make this stuff up. And so we are back from a beautiful vacation in Florida, and I could not let this opportunity go without talking about the new hero, the latest and greatest heroine of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, Agam Berger. And I know that at least some of the people who listen to Monday Motivation, and maybe quite a few of them, are plugged into what is going on in Israel and this return of the hostages. Again, not getting into the deal and making a deal with the devil, and not the point for our discussion. It's not a political podcast. But there are, I know, several people who listen who are not plugged in, who are not living and breathing by the latest update of what is going on in Israel. And I'm so glad that you're listening to Monday Motivation Podcast with Rabbi Garfinkel, because I think today, to be part of the Jewish people, you have to have your finger on the pulse of this. You know, the Jewish people are living and breathing the last since, you know, 480-something days since October 7th and the ramifications of the greatest attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust by far. And a shattering of the dreams of invincibility. We'll talk, God willing, maybe a little bit about that today. Upon whom can we rely? Bottom line, upon whom can we rely? And so therefore, we see that this is the pulse of the Jewish people. And so unapologetically, I'm doing this podcast about Agam Berger. Now, Agam Berger, we mentioned, okay, was the one of the Tatzpiniot, the outlook. That was her job in the army. They were on the border, and their job were to be the outlook, you know, the post on the border. Okay, the border guard, Mishmar Gvul, is something a little different, but they specifically were supposed to monitor what was going on across the border in Gaza. Ironically, all of them for months were saying that Hamas is up to something, and no one listened to them. You know, it's another discussion about, you know, women in the army, a very controversial topic in Israel, and they didn't listen to these women. and maybe a little bit to a certain chauvinism that exists in the army. I don't know, but they did not take these women seriously. And part of the pain of the situation was in Israel is that these women were the ones who were telling the army, the upper guard, hey, the upper brass, guys, there's something going on here. You need to look into this. And yet nothing was done. And they were the ones who were, many of them, killed. And these five were taken captive. Okay, so after all these days, Agamberger returns. And she had already, the news had already come out that she had not cooked on Shabbat. Again, so what did they do with these, you know, the hostages? So, it seems that much of the time, depending on where they were, certainly they were housed by many innocent Palestinian families. Don't get me started on this. But their job was basically to be servants, slaves, if you will, and to cook, to clean, to do menial work. And Agam refused to cook on Shabbos. She refused to cook on Shabbos. It turns out that she fasted on Yom Kippur. And all sorts of other amazing things that she did to keep her Jewish faith. And as I believe we might have mentioned last week, one is not obligated to give one's life for Shabbos, right? If there's someone needs to go to hospital on Shabbos, you know, for a serious medical issue, not only are you allowed to go, but you're obligated to go. And she held herself to a higher standard. And evidently, it seems that Hamas respected her for that and did not kill her and allowed her to stay alive. She has sparked incredible, incredible inspiration, a Jewish revival of sorts in the last few days of just people being blown away by this girl. And on the plane home, she had a sign. A helicopter, actually, to be honest. She had a sign, and it's the front cover of the podcast. I hope you like these. We'll give a shout out to Kiria Pfeffer, our Project 613 program coordinator, who makes all these amazing designs. So they get to a certain place, and then the Army helicopter brings them to the hospital. And in Hebrew, it says, Bederech Emunah Bacharti. This is what she writes on a whiteboard. And she's showing it. And obviously, she knows it's going to be broadcast and shown to the Jewish people in Israel and around the world. Bederech Emunah Bacharti. In the pathway of faith, I chose. Ubederech Emunah Shavti. And in the pathway of faith, I returned. That is what she writes. She also says, Toda l'kol am Yisrael, thank you to the entire Jewish people, v'chayle tzahal, the soldiers of the Israeli Defense Forces, ha'givurim, the mighty ones, ein kamochem ba'olam, there's no one like you in the world. And it's just unbelievable the depth of faith of this young woman who ostensibly was not raised in a religiously observant home. And we already spoke about the greatness of her mother last week, which according to many reports that I've seen, the mother was inspired to keep Shabbos and to increase her Jewish observance because of what she heard of what her daughter Agam was doing in Hamas captivity. And I want to focus on what her message was. In the pathway of faith, I chose, and in the pathway of faith, I returned. It's just so beautiful. It's so poetic, and it's being quoted all the time. I would not be surprised if it becomes a mantra of the Jewish people, the pathway of faith, pathway of faith. And I want to cut now to share with you another incredible story of one of the other five Tzitzpaniot, of the outlookers, and it's not a really good word in English for it. I'm sure my loyal fan base who speaks Hebrew will tell me a nice, better translation of the Tzitzpaniot, the outlookers. And this one is Danielle Gilboa. Now, Danielle Gilboa, her father, her parents, obviously, all the parents made a huge effort to get them released. Daniela Gilboa's father met with the vision. It's a rabbi, a great Hasidic rabbi, who gave them a blessing and basically promised that she would come home, which is a big thing only a big rabbi could do. And she says the following, and this is in an article in the Israel National News, Arut Sheva, and she says an unbelievable thing. Her first post on social media was, quote, "What a crazy year I had, and I don't know where to start." That's pretty funny. "What a crazy year I had," right? You're not expecting on Rosh Hashanah, right? When everything is decreed that you're going to be taken into Hamas captivity for 15 months, right? Correct. Okay. Back to the quote. "I think that first of all, I'll say thank you to everyone, which is so gracious. And I'm telling you, you see the midot tovot, the beautiful character traits of these young women. They come back, and the Hashas in general have been very gracious, and they know the efforts of the Jewish people to get them out. And hundreds of soldiers died in battle, in order to get them out. So they are very thankful. Now, she said, she went ahead and thanked, quote, "the people who for a year and 3 months supported my family, who didn't leave or give up or lose hope for a moment." Again, this is a direct quote. "Thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for not believing the terrible rumors. Thank you for continuing to pray for me for this entire time. It was my last request before I was abducted. I didn't want to give up or say goodbye. So instead, I prayed and believed with my whole heart that my end was not there in that shelter." Right? Just talking about where she was taken on October 7th, 2023. Then she recounts the moments of her abduction. Quote, again, a direct quote, "I prayed for all the girls who were with me for a half an hour since I felt I couldn't do anything better other than that at the time. I couldn't hold on to the protection that the army may provide and maybe come to protect me." Do you see what she's saying? Now, this is my commentary. She's saying all the things that she thought she could trust, all the things that she thought that she could rely on to save her, the army, mainly the army. And that was, you talk to anyone who survived, or God forbid, the families of those who did not survive. Where was the army? 6-7 hours until they could mobilize. She continues, quote, "I couldn't hold on to the protection that the shelter may have provided, since it wasn't rockets. At that moment, I guess maybe because it wasn't, the shelter that she was in was for rockets, and it wasn't rockets. It was individual Hamas people with guns." And she continues the quote, "At that moment, I couldn't hold on to the few girls who were armed either." So she couldn't rely on the army, she couldn't rely on the shelter, and she couldn't rely on even the few girls who did have weapons, because they were clearly outnumbered. And we continue to quote Daniela Gilboa. Quote, "I knew that the only thing that could save us was faith, emunah. This is a Hebrew word. And she continues, "Yesterday morning, Karina," and she's going to list all the names of the other four girls, "Karina, Naama, Liri, Agam, and I recited Hagomel, the Thanksgiving blessing, at the synagogue. I waited for this moment from the day I survived October 7th to thank God who, against all odds, saved us from the worst thing of all." Now you're talking about one of the deep recognitions. This Daniela Gilboa said, "I realized ein lanu al mi l'she'en el rak al avinu shebashamayim," which means I have no one upon whom to rely except our Father in heaven. That's basically what she's saying. It's a famous quote in Hebrew, that really we only can rely on the Almighty, and all of the veneers of all of the layers of protection that we all think will protect us, the army will protect us, and the shelter will protect us, and other people will protect us, it was all stripped away. And she realized at that moment, it's only emunah, it is only my faith in the Almighty that will carry me through. And she began to pray, and she waited for the day when she would be released and they could all say the special Hagomel blessing, which they did, which is unbelievable. I have not seen a video of that. If anyone has a video of these five amazing young women saying the Gomel blessing, please send it to me. And the Gomel blessing is when one survives a life-threatening circumstance. This is clearly a life-threatening circumstance. There's other situations where we say that blessing as well, but all having to deal with major salvations. Okay. In the time remaining, I want to dig into just a little bit. What is this pathway of faith, of emunah? So emunah is not really translated as faith, because faith means I cut my head off and it's an I believe, as I like to say, I believe. And it's not rooted in any factual basis. It's just I believe. And if the concept of Jewish faith has nothing to do with fact or precedent or reliability, then God forbid, why shouldn't I just have blind faith in something else? Why have the Jewish people for 3,800 years since Abraham been willing to give our lives literally for our belief in God, if it's just some random blind faith? Okay? On the other hand, if our concept of faith is that we know it to be true, we know it for sure to be true, then that's not faith. That's called fact. I don't believe that 2 and 2 is 4. I know that 2 and 2 is 4. So we're in a little bit of a pickle, a definitional pickle. What is faith? What is faith? So this is an entire class of about an hour that we're going to condense down into a minute or two. Is that a deal? Okay. Considering we're at minute 17 of a 20-ish minute podcast. So here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Because the word emunah does not mean faith. It actually means faithfulness. If there is a proper English translation, it would be faithfulness. To be faithful, to be ne'eman, to be reliable and trustworthy. That is what our emunah is. We put our trust, our that the Almighty is faithful. We are faithful to that which we know is true. Meaning, an artist in Hebrew is called an uman, same three basic letters, Aleph, Mem, Nun. An artist is someone who's faithful to his craft. It takes discipline and effort and constant overseeing. And that's why an uman artist is a person of faith. He's reliable. And we see that the Almighty, having faith in God, is a process of having trust in the one who is the most reliable. And so the way the commentators explain it is that it's not a belief in nothing, of blind faith. It's that we met the Almighty. We met him at Mount Sinai. We met him before Mount Sinai at Yetzias Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt. That's what the Torah portions of the weeks now have been talking about. And we saw Hashem. We met him. We experienced his salvations. That's why Pesach is such a big deal, people, is because we're reliving the time that we met the Almighty. And not only met him, he redeemed us from Hamas captivity. It was called Pharaoh in Egypt. Okay, same thing. And so therefore, when we had a personal experience as a nation of God taking care of us and extricating us from an impossible situation in which nothing else or no one else was going to be able to help us, we are forever allegiant to the Almighty. And so then when Hashem says, I want you to accept the Torah because it's good for you, the Jewish people accepted the Torah because we trusted in him. Hashem has street creds. And therefore, what happens now? We're not having blind faith in something we've never met. We are faithful to that which we know is true. Jewish faith is rooted in cold, hard facts. God took us out of Egypt. He redeemed us from Egypt. He gave us the Torah because he loves us and he wants us to have a guide in life. And therefore now, when we see on October 7th, we say, oh, I don't know, where's God? Say, no, that's when we need our emunah to come in. We're faithful to that which we know is true. If something painful or difficult is happening, it's not because God is not there. It's because he is there. And we need to learn something. We need to fundamentally wake up. And therefore, these girls are such bright lights. Who would have blamed any of them to come out of this experience and say, oh, why do bad things happen to good people, and be bitter and blame God for all the bad things that happened to them? And everyone would have said, yeah, right. But no, they came out positively because they went in through the pathway of faith, and therefore they came out of the ordeal in the pathway of faith. They are faithful to that which they knew was true, that God has always been with the Jewish people in thick or thin. And if there are difficult times, it's for our best. It's because God loves us and he wants to squeeze out the goodness from us. He wants to squeeze out the wine from our grapes. He wants to crush us like a piece of coal to make a diamond. And look at the diamonds that have come out of this ordeal. I'm in awe of these young women who are heroes of the Jewish people. May they inspire us as well to go in the pathway of faith. God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.